Seder. So we set up the Kara. There are two different customs. The Kara, that one has, depends which side you use. Some sides have Ras.
This?
Yeah, see? Some sides have Ras.
Ah.
Ras. You don't want to use that. And anyways, the hole you want to use, this one, can't Ras.
Maybe.
But we set up, we are going to set up the Kara, the bowl, on which we place the different things we're going to use at the Seder. So what are we going to use at the Seder? We're going to have Kaddish. Kiddush, that doesn't want the Kara. We have a cup, which we use to make Kiddush. Do we have any cups?
We have single-use cups, yes.
Good. So you want to bring those? Someone else can take a grain?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know where they are?
Yes.
Okay, so Kaddish, we do Kiddush. I want to drink 4 cups of wine at the same night. Our sages and students, 4 cups of wine in the room with a different mitzvah. In 4 cups, we're going to wash in preparation for dipping a vegetable, a green vegetable, preferably not cooked, into salt water. So we have to prepare the salt water beforehand. We have the salt water in front of us. We'll argue a different time. We take a vegetable and we dip it in salt water. And the idea is that the main point of the tzipras is so that the children will ask, hey, how come you're doing this? Usually we don't start dipping in and eating vegetables before the meal. We haven't even started. We haven't eaten the bread. Our matzahs on table. You're not eating the matzahs. You're starting to dip. And we want to get the children involved tonight. So at the beginning of the Seder, for children, we bring all kinds of sweets. And we try to get them curious. And we give them out. So the child's going to be sitting, and suddenly you tell him, hey, you know, you only get the sweet if he did something. Suddenly he gets a sweet thrown at him. Now these aren't better to face up, but Seder will start that Seder. And when children suddenly have something unusual, sweet, the beginning of the meal, they haven't even eaten anything and they're getting dessert. And so they get excited, they're interested. Like everyone here saw me perked up and came to life when I threw out these sweets. So that's the idea. The Seder, we're trying to get the kids involved. So we're doing things that are a little bit interesting. And one of the things we're doing that's interesting is we're dipping the vegetable in salt water. Daniel, heads up. Good catch. Wow, he's quick. Okay. So we give out sweets to the little children. When you come to my Seder, you will not get sweets. You're not little children. But tonight, we're giving out sweets. And after we are going to dip the vegetable, raw vegetable, in salt water, kadesh, urchatz, we wash without making a blessing on the washing. Karpas, we dip the vegetable in salt water. Yachatz, we split the matzahs. And we're going to take one half of the matzah and store it in a special matzah bag for afikoman, and the other half, the smaller half, remains on the table. So let's begin as though we were doing the Seder. So what do we have at the Seder? We have our haroset, it's being manufactured over there. We have our bitter herbs, our maros. So usually, only the head of the table, only the father of the house, has a table, has a plate set up in front of him. Everyone else gets from him, or gets from the center plate. But tonight, for practice, we're going to give each person their vegetable, and this vegetable has a bug on it. Something black. I just threw it away. Okay. Here we go. I just hope that there is no bug.
Okay. So we have. So we have some maror.
I didn't say bro.
And we. Okay. What are you eating? Seder didn't begin yet. That's what guys do in my house too.
Cheer.
Gentlemen.
I didn't.
At the Seder, we don't eat anything. You spend the whole Seder. What does the Rasha say?
Yeah.
The Rasha says, we have 4 sons. What is the Rasha's complaint? The Rasha's complaint is, why are we doing all this work? We're doing all this talking. There's all this delicious food and we're not eating it. Well, when you don't be a Rasha, right? You're showing up to the Seder so that we're going to make Kiddush and eat a little bit of a vegetable, less than a kezayis, a small amount of the vegetable, because otherwise you get into a question, do you need to make an after blessing? And then you're not going to get anything throughout the Seder till it comes time to wash and eat amotzi. So we set up the plate. I'm sorry, but that questions like that will have to wait for tomorrow.
Why is there such a problem with saying an after blessing?
We won't get to get into tonight. I'm sorry. If you look at the notes I prepared, do you have the notes? Okay, we set up three matzahs. Gentlemen, the top and bottom matzahs are going to remain whole. We're going to use them for our motzi. And the middle matzah is going to be broken and yachas. But we will begin, let's begin in order. Primarily, this job is done before Pesach. You prepare the food. He's doing it on the side here. We come to the Seder, everything has to be set up. Our chairs are set up with pillows so we can lean. The father of the house rushes home because our whole point is we're going to tell the children about our heritage. We're telling them the important night, tonight, it's the anniversary. We were taken out of Egypt. We have a special mitzvah to tell our children about what happened on this night. So each child on his level, we're going to tell them that. Hey, son, this is what happened to us down in Egypt. We were tortured. God foretold us that would happen. But we spent years there being tortured, and then God took me out of Egypt. We presented to our children, so it was us. And for this special occasion, we wear a white kittel, this white garment, which I will be buried in. And it's to remind us that even though we're celebrating tonight, we're free men tonight, let's not get carried away. A person can become very haughty, sitting at the table, eating on those fancy dishes. So in order so we don't get carried away, we wear this garment to remind ourselves one day the worms will be eating us and it's starving. That's one understanding. And so we wear our kittel and we come to the Seder table. And we begin the Seder. The Yekish custom is to begin with Yigdal. We're going to sing Yigdal quickly. Rishon ve'reshit le'reshito Hino adon olam lechon notzar Yoreg edudato malchuto Shefa nebuato nitano Elam sheis edudato netivato Lokam v'Yisrael Kimo she'on aviyu bavir Et emunato present. We have a special mitzvah to tell children about what this night is all about. And according to the Rambam, we are fulfilling this biblical mitzvah with Kiddush. We begin, we set the Seder table, we have our pillows on our chairs ready to lean on. We have our Seder plate, we have a roasted shank bone somewhere. No, okay, we'll make believe we have a roasted shank bone. But today this is a roasted shank bone. Okay, this is a roasted shank bone. It's commemorating the Paschal offering which was roasted. The eggs are commemorating the chagigah, the offering that was brought, which was most of our meal was the chagigah. We just turned it off the meal for the Paschal offering. Everyone had a little piece of it. But the main meal was the chagigah offering, which we brought a lot of meat. And the egg commemorates that we no longer have it. It's cooked. And the chagigah could be cooked. We commemorate that the temple mourners eat eggs, so we commemorate we no longer have the temple. We have our maror over here. And the haroses, when it will be made, will be to the left of it. We have our matzahs, which we will be making a motzi on, three matzahs, and we will break the middle one soon and discuss why. We have our cup of wine. Do we have cups for everyone? Okay. Everyone gets a cup of wine. Now, every year, I recommend... Every year, I recommend everyone present to dilute their wine. We are going to be like free men tonight. Tonight we were freed from slavery. And to commemorate that, we are going to drink 4 cups of wine. And we are going to drink them leaning on our left side like free men. As we will do when we eat the matzahs, we will lean on our left side like free men. And if one forgot to lean, one has not fulfilled one's obligation. So, every year, I recommend to the guys, do me a favor, dilute your wine. On the one hand, it has to be intoxicating. It has to be that if you drink enough of this wine, you could get drunk. But on the other hand, you don't want to be knocked out halfway through the Seder. And every year, guys tell me, don't worry, I hold my liquor. And they don't dilute their wine enough. And by the time we end the meal, everyone's knocked out. After 3 cups, everyone's finished. So tonight, we have wine, and we have grape juice, and you're welcome to practice diluting it. We're
screw up.
Oh, no, it isn't.
It's not, it's good.
We're in luck. Yeah. We have the wine, we have grape juice, you all have cups, you all have to dilute them. Now, ordinarily, whenever we make Kiddush, we have to drink Rov Revias, the majority of a Revias, irrespective of the size of the cup. Tonight, there is a stringency, guys, listen up. Tonight, there is an opinion which we try to fulfill that says that on Pesach, we should drink the majority of the cup. So we try to get a cup that the size of the cup is a revis. Because if it's more than that, then in order to fulfill this opinion, you would have to drink most of the cup. Now, even on the Seder night, you can just drink the majority of a revis. How much is a revis? So if you all turn to page, these aren't numbered, the page that at the top of the page it says 4 cups of wine. Yes, sir. Yeah, mix it, go ahead. You're welcome to join us. I'm sure. A revis is either 4.42 ounces or 3.3. Now, for biblical mitzvot, such as Kiddush, so we use the biblical opinion that says it's 4.42 ounces. Now, just so we get a picture of that, how much is that? So I brought a measuring cup. And we'll evaluate approximately 4.42 ounces and look at it in a cup. This is the more stringent opinion. This is even too much. Of what a revius is. You guys looking? Okay. So drop less than this. This much. Now you have to drink the majority of this, meaning more than half of this. So let's measure how much that is.
That's a revius?
A revius, 4.42 ounces.
It is the most stringent or the more lenient opinion?
Yeah.
It's much.
Just a second, gentlemen, 1 second. That's a little bit too much. How many ounces are these cups? Yishai, do you have the package of the cups?
It doesn't make sense.
It's not the violation of halakha if you eat the... Just a second. Let's see if it says it anywhere.
It's not violation for a guy if you will drink grape juice, no?
There are opinions that say it's okay to drink grape juice. We prefer to drink a mix of grape juice with some wine so that it will be more like...
I believe there's 100-gram cups, right?
There are 100 cups in the bag. That doesn't tell us the size.
That's a V.
These cups are probably less than this, because these cups should be 6 or 7 ounce cups. Just again, we mismeasured. Measure again. Now, one of the things we do in my house on the eve of Pesach, which this year we'll have to do on Friday, is we measure the cups. Everyone chooses the cup they're going to use at the Seder. And they measure how many ounces are in their cup so that they know how much is Rov Revias. Okay, so this is more like it. This is the more stringent opinion of a Revias, the majority of this cup. Now, we have to drink the majority of the Revias, which is half of this. So, we'll measure out half. And this is how much you have to drink on every cup of... every cup that you drink. Every cup of the 4 cups. Preferably.
Maybe use two cups of coffee.
Okay, we can do that. Okay, so this isn't so much wine, is it? This is half of that. This is Rogravitz. The more stringent opinion. This is the more stringent opinion of the majority of Ravis. Remember, we said a Ravis is double this, and you have to drink the majority of that. And I recommend to all our listeners, take cups at home and do it, because people always overestimate. And then they end up getting, not drunk, but they drink too much alcohol and they conk out at the Seder night. So tonight, you're welcome to mix. That's why we brought wine and grape juice. Because every year at my house at the Seder, people put in too much wine, they mix it and they make it too intoxicating, and then they get knocked out. So I want you guys to get knocked out tonight. No. So you'll be smarter for the Seder. Now when the Seder comes, you'll last till the end of the Seder.
No.
So mix wine and grape juice, and in a second we will make a mock kiddush. Here's the grape juice, guys. Come.
Wait, take a little bit. Wait, just take the grape juice. I'm sorry.
Take whatever you want.
I just want to
share with you the tomb, the ancient Yekish tomb for the kiddush of the night of the Seder. So I will quickly say it. Please be quiet so those who want to listen can hear it. We begin Kiddush with the blessing of Borei Pri HaGafen, right? And we will mention our Kiddush, the blessing of Borei Pri HaGafen. And this year is a very special Kiddush. We have Yak Nehaz, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdol Hazman, because this year Pesach falls out on Matzoi Shabbos, so we will make the blessing Yayin Borei Pri HaGafen on the wine. Kiddush, we'll make the Kiddush sanctifying the day of Pesach, the night of Pesach. Ner, we'll make the blessing on the candle, Borei Mori HaEsh. Havdalah, we'll make Havdalah, which is a special Havdalah. When, guys, stay with me, you gotta know this, you're doing it. Havdalah, we're gonna make Havdalah on Matzei Shabbos as part of the Kiddush of Pesach. So we will drink, we will say a special Havdalah in which we say, Hamavdil bin Kodesh leKodesh. Daniel, God discerns between holiness and holiness. Ben Kedushas Shabbos, the Kedushas Yom Tov and Dalta. Hashem, you discern between the holiness of Sabbath and the holy days of the holidays, etc. After we finish Havdalah, we say Zman Shechiyonu, and then lean and drink. Now, being that I have no obligation to say all of this tonight, so I'm not going to say God's name. We're just making believe. And after I make a Borei Pri HaGafen, I'm going to drink from the wine, even though at the Seder night, we wait till the very end of Kiddush after Shechiyonu to drink from the wine. But tonight, I'm not allowed to do that. I have to drink right away, just like any blessing, because I'm not obligated to make the Kiddush. So I'll drink a sip and continue the Kiddush, even though at the Seder night, we do not drink until the very end of Kiddush. All rise, please, gentlemen. Don't join me and listen, so you learn the tune. And Bezrat Hashem, you'll review it off the web. And you'll be able to do it on your own for your own children.
Are you yoticing all of us?
I'm not being mold to you. You'll make your own blessings on the wine. Remember that when you drink the wine, you must lean. Make your own blessings on the wine, because tonight it's not the Seder, so I'm not being mold to anyone. And remember, even though I will drink after my blessings, at the Seder night, you don't drink till the very end of the Kiddush. Tavriman Amravnan Rabotai Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri HaGafen Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Am Veromemanu Mikol Lashon Vekidshanu Bemitzvotav Vatiten Lanu Hashem Elokeinu Be'ahava Moadim Lesimcha חגים וזמנים לססון את יום חג המצות הזה זמן חירותנו מקרא קודש זכר ליציאת מצרים כי בנו בחרת ו ואותנו קידשת מכל העמים, ומועדי קודשך בשמחה ובששון הנחלתנו. ברוך אתה השם מקדש ישראל והזמנים. ברוך אתה השם מלוכנו מלך העולם בורא מאורי האש. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם המבדיל בין קודש לחול, בין אור לחושך, בין ישראל לעמים, בין יום השביעי לששת ימי המעשה, בין קדושת שבת לקדושת יום טוב הבדלת, ואת יום השביעי מששת ימי המעשה קידשת. הבדלת וקידשת את עמך ישראל בקדושתך. ברוך אתה השם המבדיל בין קודש לקודש. ברוך אתה השם אלוקינו מלך העולם שחיינו וקיימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה.
Guys, don't forget a blessing. You guys didn't make a blessing. Lean on your left side and drink your wine. Now, usually people come to the Seder after a whole day where they haven't eaten much. They've been working, they've been resting. And we don't eat a steady meal in the afternoon. We take care, A, you can't eat bread, you can't eat matzah, so you don't have that much to eat. You're not allowed to eat bread, right, after we burn chametz in the morning, and you're not allowed to eat matzah. Everyone is prohibited from eating matzah the eve of Pesach, because you have to have matzah supposed to be special that night. So there isn't that much to eat. People come and they're famished, they're ravenous, and they're thirsty. After a long davening in shul, hallel, they down the first cup of wine, and that's when the trouble starts, because you have an empty stomach and you're downing wine, alcohol, onto an empty stomach. You guys are coming here tonight at the model seder, you just had supper, you had lunch today, everything is normal, so the wine affects you less. But even so, I hope it will affect you, so you will learn your lesson for the seder night, not to make such a strong concoction. Now, we wash our hands because we will dip a vegetable in salt water. So the custom is, our sages instituted, we should wash our hands without making a blessing al netirat yadayim. And this also, the children will ask, what happened? You always tell me to make a blessing, now you don't tell me to make a blessing. We'll say, ooh, good question, son. What else do you see here that's unusual? And he's going to look and say, oh, you're wearing funny clothing, what's that white robe? Ooh, good question. You see, we're doing special things, because tonight, we're commemorating that we're free men. Tonight is different than any other night. Tonight is the switch point in our history. And off of that, we're going to enter a discussion with our children. And even though we are obligated to say every word of the Agada, every person attending the Seder should say every word of the Agada, and I will not have time tonight to go through the Agada and explain, though I hope, if there are people interested, next week we'll have classes on the Agada, if people are interested. But that you could buy a beautiful art scroll, Agada, the Kol Dodi Agada. This Agada has a translation and tells you all the halachot that we discussed. My writings are a summary of this plus a little bit. This is Rabbi Feinstein's Agada. You could pick up, the art school has numerous Agadas. I like this one, A, because it's my Rebbe, but the real reason why is because it's halachic and it's simple and short without vorts. I don't like it. The Seder people get carried away with all kinds of Hasidish vorts, which are very nice, but miss the point. Meaning, they're nice after you know the point. They're good additions. They're not good as basics. There are basic reasons for what we're doing, which you have to know. And when you read all these Agadas that tell you all these Hasidish ideas, they're very nice, but they're assuming you know the point. And you don't.
So I want you to get a basic Haggadah like this that will tell you the main points. Then after you've mastered this, get all the Hasidic Haggadahs you like. I have them too, and I love them as well, and I grew up on them as well. They're beautiful. But they're papirot lachokhmah. They're the adornings. You have to first know the main basic things, and that's what we will try to cover. That's what I try to cover in the back, the basic sheet that we gave out over here. Okay, so we wash our hands. And then we take a vegetable. We don't take the same vegetable we're going to use for the maror, right? Okay. We're going to take a different vegetable. We're going to take a piece of green vegetable that does not require cooking. And an example of that is going to be a green pepper. A piece of pepper. We're going to dip in the salt water and make a blessing, Borei Pri Adoma. And we will have in mind that this blessing of Borei Pri Adoma will also be good for the maror. Because the maror is its own mitzvah, even though we're going to eat it as part of the meal, but it's its own mitzvah. So it should really get its own blessing. In regular meals, we don't eat maror. Who sits down and eats horseradish as part of the meal? I've never seen anyone take grated horseradish and say, ah, let me go have some good grated horseradish. We don't do that, right? So, rather what? We have a mitzvah to eat it, so it should get its own Borei Pri Adoma. But we don't do that. We say the Borei Pri Adoma we will make now, we should have in mind, will be good for the maror we will eat in the middle of the meal. So now, I would like to have a volunteer to grate our horseradish for us. At the Seder it should be ready, but we don't have it ready yet. And you will all feel the pain of horseradish going into your eyes. And as you tear, think of the tears of the Jews in Egypt. You're going to grate it for us? Okay. This Seder. So we take a piece of vegetable. And it's not going to be our maror vegetable, it's going to be a different vegetable. I forgot to bring a vegetable. And we dip it in salt water, and we make a blessing. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, borei pri adamah. Now, we are going to begin Magid. Magid is the main point of the Haggadah. Tonight we have a mitzvah, v'higata levincha, you will tell your son. So, gentlemen, grade it on these holes. Over here. No, I'm not. Okay. Now, we have our three matzahs. Gentlemen, please, I know it's more interesting to watch the grading of the maror than this to participate here, but you gotta know this. Okay, we take the middle matzah. We are going to break it in half. The way a poor man eats is that a poor man does not know what food he has tomorrow. He can't eat all his bread. He takes away a piece and he puts it away for tomorrow. He can't afford buying these whole loaves of bread. He only has small pieces. And we take the bigger piece. We put it in our special sachet. This, the bigger piece, is apikoman. Take it out as our dessert. So apikoman gets its own special sash. And we want to teach the children how precious this matzah is. That this matzah is our whole heritage. And so, as part of our entertainment for the night, and to keep them involved, the children all know that if they steal this precious matzah, then it's going to be so precious for me to get it back. That I'll give them whatever they want for this matzah. Almost whatever they want. At 4 years old, the demands are pretty small, so it's okay. So we take the apikoman, we break the matzah, and now we have a broken matzah, and we want this broken matzah because we're about to begin magid. And one of the reasons that the matzah is called lechem oni, poor man's bread, is because lechem oni also means bread of answering. Over this bread we will answer the questions of the Haggadah. So we're about to begin answering, we're about to begin Magid, we're about to begin our talking of the how the Jews were in Egypt and how they went out. So we have to say it over lechem oni. A whole matzah doesn't seem like poor man's bread. A half a matzah, okay, who wants to have a matzah? A poor man wants to have a matzah. So that's our lechem oni. We prepare it before we start being one, answering the Haggadah. Hancho, as part of keeping the children entertained, we give out sweets. Everyone else got. Oh, you didn't get either. Sorry. No, sorry. I don't have such a good arm. Okay. So now we've. A lot. Give it to someone else to grade. Give it. Come on, Yochanan wants a little bit of crying. Yehuda. Avraham, everyone should have their chance at it. Okay, we take our poor man's bread, we lift this poor, and we say, gentlemen, ha, this, lach ma'anya, poor man's bread, diachalu avatana ba'arad mitzrayim, that our forefathers ate in Egypt, we're holding up the broken matzah to show everyone. And this was instituted in Aramaic, because it's an institution of the Amoraim, Most of the Agada is an institution of the Tannaim, the verses. This was instituted by the Amoraim, and in Babylon, where the Amoraim lived, the spoken language was
Aramaic.
So it's written in Aramaic. We will translate it. Halachmanya, this poor man's bread, the Halavatan of the Mitzrayim that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Kol dichvin, whoever's hungry, ate the Yechokami. We're acting like free men. We have a lot of food. So we're inviting anyone who's hungry, join us. Kol ditzik, whoever needs, the eight of Yisaf, join our Passover. Hashat Ahacha, this year we're here in Chutz Lares, in Israel that's not yet rebuilt. The Shana Abam, the Arad Yisrael, will be in the land of Israel. Hashat Ahavde, this year we're still enslaved. L'shana Habam, b'nei Kholi. And that leads us into the Manishtano. Our sages instituted four questions that the children ask, and every person has to say it. As we said, every person has to say every word of the Agada.
So,
the youngest one gets to lead. We should all say it quietly. Let's sing it together. What are the four questions? Who knows? Wait. What are we about to sing? What?
Why? And what differs this time from all the other nights? So all the other nights.
Okay, so we want to know, we are going to enumerate four differences that the child has noticed thus far, and he's saying, why is this night different? What causes these four differences that I'm about to enumerate? What's different about this night that caused all these differences that I'm going to enumerate? Ma nishtana laila mikol ha-leilot mikol ha-leilot shebechol ha-leilot anu olim ha-metz u-matza ha-metz u-matza ha-layla ze ha-layla ze u-lo matza ha-layla ze ha-layla ze questions, and now we're going to begin answering him. You know why this night's different? Because Avadim Einul Farom Mitzrayim, we were all slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. God took us out of there with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm. And if God did not take us and our forefathers, if God did not take our forefathers out of Egypt, we'd all still be slaves there. So we commemorate this night when we went out of Egypt, and that's why we all have an obligation, irrespective of how wise, how understanding, how old we are. Even if we've mastered the Torah, we have a mitzvah tonight. And the more we say over, the greater it is. So that's what we're doing here tonight, son. You see on all these unusual things? Some commemorate the slavery we had there. Some commemorate the freedom. And then we recount the story of the great sages that were in Bnei Brak. And they spent all night saying, and they were so involved in recounting the story of leaving Egypt, that their students have to come and tell them, rabbis, it's time for the morning prayer. That Lazar Ben Zari says, I'm almost 70 years old, and I had this ancient argument with the rabbis about each night commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's a quote we have over here. It's a Mishnah. And now we begin. Blessed is Hashem who gave us this beautiful Torah, and the Torah saw it so important that we tell over the exit from Egypt. that the Torah said four times the obligation to tell your children that I left Egypt, and in saying it four times, the Torah taught us that we have an obligation to tell our son whether he's wise, whether he's stupid, whether he's simple, plain, or whether he's wicked. And that's why the Torah said it four times, corresponding to the four types of children one might have. And Chacham HaOmer, what does the wise son say? He asks for all the details. He says, what are these laws that attest to things? What are these statutes? What are the laws that are laws of ordinances that God commanded you? So you tell him everything, down to the last, to the end of the Seder. You teach him down to the last law, that at the very end of the Seder, you eat nothing after the Afikoman. What's the Rasha say? What's all this work you guys are doing? Why are we spending so much time? There's food on there. Why aren't we eating? So you tell him, hey, your teeth, you make him have it bitter on his teeth. He's so focused on his eating. You tell him, you speak about the food God commanded you. You're talking as though you spoke to us, as though God commanded us and not you. Right? You said, what did God command you guys? You're treating it as though you weren't part of this issue, as though the Torah isn't talking to you. So we're telling him, you should know. People like you wouldn't have made it out of Egypt. What does the simple son say? He says, what's going on? So you tell him, God took us out of Egypt with a strong hand. And the little one, he doesn't even know how to ask. So you start the conversation with him. There's no excuse. Regardless what type of son you have. If you have a son that you have to start with a biting remark, you know, if you'd be there, you wouldn't make it out of Egypt. Let me tell you what happened there, you. That's the Russia. You have a son that's smart, so you answer him according to his wisdom. You have a son that doesn't even know how to ask. So you initiate the conversation. Tell him, you know what? Because of this, God did it for me when I left Egypt. You have a little boy at the table, so you start telling the story about what happened to you in Egypt, what the Egyptians did to you. You might think, if it's so important, I'll start telling the kid from Rosh Chodesh, just like we start preparing for the Paschal offering from Rosh Chodesh. We start looking for animals, etc. No, God told us about the mitzvah of Pesach on Rosh Chodesh. You might think we should start, we have this special mitzvah starting from Rosh Chodesh. No, the Torah says on that day. You might think, oh, maybe just like I bring the Paschal offering in the previous afternoon, I'll start. Man, no, that night, the idea is hands-on education. Maybe the kids don't understand. So you show them, you see how bitter it is. You see this? See this? This is how we were sitting there in Egypt, blowing through the mortar, mixing, working. But we had these big vats, and we'd mix. And if we didn't make it, if we didn't make enough in a day, so they'd take a person and they'd say, you're instead of a brick. And then we'd mix, and just like you see the wine here, that's how we had to mix the mortar. And little children, you don't want to say that to them, so don't tell the little children. But hands on. The Torah says, Babur Zeh, when you could point, when you could tell the child, because of this, you see this matzah in Egypt, our parents were working so hard, the Egyptians didn't give them time to work, to make normal bread. They'd say, finish making your bread. They'd rush us, we'd eat matzah throughout our time in Egypt. When we left Egypt, it was in a rush, so this matzah became bread of salvation when we left Egypt. This, you see, son, when we were in Egypt, this is what we had to eat for lunch. We didn't have two sandwiches, this. We take the bigger half, hold it away, because who knows if tomorrow they'll let me make food. So the Torah says, don't tell them the day before. The Pesach offering you could bring in the afternoon. The mitzvah of telling your children is at night. Bavur zeh lo amarti b'shar shematzah ma'om u'nachin nefanecha. The mitzvah is to tell them when you have the matzah in front of you, the maror in front of you, then you can tell your son, here, look, this is why. You show him, then it'll be alive by him. And then we go back and we start. We have a concept in the Agada, our sages instituted, Metchil Begnutum Seyem Mesheva. We begin with our shame, and we end with where we got to. Look where we got to. So we begin, one opinion says, with the concept that we were initially slaves. The other opinion says, no, we go further back. Mitzchilav Davidazrayu Avoteinu. Initially, we were all pagans. We were serving idols. You know, Abram's father, he used to build this little getchke, and he'd say, you be my God. And then he bowed it and prayed it and took it, and that was his God. And then Hashem did his kindness. Hashem brought us close to his service. So we even go that far back to tell our children our history, where we came from. Blessed is Hashem who kept his promise. He told Abraham, you should know your offsprings will be there for 400 years, and then I'll take him out. And God kept his promise. And now we're up to the Vehisha Amda. We left our cups of wine. We should have refilled them already. We forgot. So let's refill. The custom is that tonight we are like free men. We don't pour our own cups of wine. Everyone pours for someone else. An issue of modesty. A man is not supposed to pour for a woman, and a woman is not supposed to pour for a man. So even though you want to be nice to your host,
Don't be too nice to your hostess. You can say thank you for the delicious food. You can do all kinds of nice, polite things. But you're not supposed to be the one pouring her a cup of wine. Let her daughter, her sister, her husband, let someone else do that. Now, if you're pouring 50 cups of wine and hers is among them, then it's not a problem. The issue is not to pour directly for her. By the same token, if she or a girl is pouring 50 cups of wine, if she's pouring a bunch of cups for many people, that's okay. The idea is it shouldn't be personal. So if someone wouldn't mind pouring my cup of wine, I'd appreciate it. And we're going to lift our cups of wine. It's okay. Just like in Egypt. Don't think like, oh, we have these reconstructionists, they say all these stories about a rebellion and this and that. No! Why did we get out of Egypt? One reason. Because God made a promise, then He took us out. That's what we're discussing tonight. The 10 plagues, the miraculous exit from Egypt. So by the same token, in every generation our people have arisen above us, trying to destroy us. And the only thing that stood by us, not our might, not our cunning, not our intellect, but rather the fact that God saves us from their hand. And that's what we're declaring in the Vihishamda. Vihishamda lavtenu vilanu, what stood by us? It's not one nation that came to destroy us. Every generation has its people who want to annihilate us. And Hashem saved us from their hand, that's what saved us. Go and see from our history all the way back to the time of Lavan. Lavan wanted to destroy Yaakov. Lavan wanted to destroy everything. And Hashem saved us. And then we go and explain, we go through the verses that explain how much we were suffering at the hands of the Egyptians. We're going to have to skip all of this tonight. You're welcome to look in an English Haggadah. And we're running out of time. I'm going to have to skip much of the Haggadah. And we have two choices. We can end in 10 minutes and clean up together. Or we could end in a half hour. And then guys have to give me the word. They'll help Shai, that Shai doesn't end up alone cleaning up over here. I have to leave at 10. So,
I'm 10 to half an hour.
And you'll help Shai clean up, Arthur? You'll help?
It's sharp, don't yeah. Mind,
you'll help? You'll help him? Yeah? Okay. So, in that case, we can continue. We are skipping forward to Dam Be'eshvitim Mot Hashan. We commemorate about how Hashem brought miracles and wonders to the Egyptians as part of saving us. And one of the verses that we quote, Uvim Moftim, you see the commemoration of the 10 plagues? Gentlemen, you have it. Dan Svadeya, just before that. Run past me, I'll
go quicker.
So we're skipping most of the Haggadah? I mean, Magi.
We are over here. Dam Esh. Who wants to pass me the Haggadah? We'll find it quickly.
Dam Vayabayesh.
The Timot Hashan, this second. Anyone want to pass me the Haggadah? Okay, so then I'm moving forward. So we're commemorating, we're going through the verses that discuss how Hashem saved us. And the next verse, this verse, the end of the verse says, Uvmoftim, that God did wonders when He took us out of Egypt. That's a reference to the blood, that God turned the Nile to blood. As the verse says, God says, I will do wonders in heaven and earth. And those wonders include Dam Be'eshvit Mot Hashan, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. So when we discuss how the first plague, the plague of blood, was such a wondrous plague against the Egyptians, so we remove a little bit of wine from the cup. Dam. We take it out with our pinky. Va'esh v'timrot ashan.
And then we enumerate the 10 plagues that God brought on the Egyptians, and with each plague, we remove a drop of wine from our cup. Now, the custom is to do it with the pinky. The real custom should probably be to do it with the index finger. So if you don't have a custom, do it with your index finger. If you have a custom, do it with your pinky. Do it with your pinky. But if you have no custom, do it with your index finger. And as we enumerate the 10 plagues, we take out a drop of wine from our cup with each plague. Dam tzifaldea kinin arov dever shechin barad arde choshech makat bechorot. Rabbi Yehuda yantin mem simanim. Rabbi Yehuda used to abbreviate them. He'd use their Hebrew initials in order to commemorate the 10 plagues. That's the next sentence. Deitzach, and again, when we say each of the initials, we take out a drop of wine from our cup. Deitzach, Adash, Be'ahav. Now, I made a blessing for Pre'agafen, so we could lick off our fingers. Those of you who are squeamish could pour out a drop from their cup. Then, the different Tanoim explain how the Makos would break down to many more Makos than they seem. And however it is, one opinion says that they ended up having each plague was composed of 4 plagues. Another says each plague was composed of 5 plagues. Each opinion says a different opinion as to how many plagues were within each plague. But in the end we say, look, whatever it is, we definitely have a lot of things to thank God for. And that's the song of Dayenu. So let's sing that song together. However, whichever opinion we're going to go with, God did many great things for the Jewish people when he took them out of Egypt. So, kama ma'alot tovot la'makom aleinu. The omnipresent, God is called Hamakom, the omnipresent, has bestowed so many favors upon us. Ilu otzianu, if he'd only take us out of Egypt and not punish them, dayenu, it would suffice us to spend the night thanking him. And then we enumerate each stage of the redemption, and we say, if God would have only done A, or B, or C, or D, that would be enough to thank God for the redemption. And let's sing it together. Ilu ilu otzianu, otzianu mimitzayim, lo asabayim shvatim dayenu. Ilo asavim shvatim velo asavim lo eyem dayenu. Day dayenu, day dayenu, day dayenu, dayenu. Thank him and spend this night thanking him. Dayenu means it would have been enough. Enough that we would be obligated to spend this night thanking him. If he would have executed judgments against their gods and not slain their firstborn, that would be enough to thank him tonight. If he would have destroyed their firstborn and not given us their wealth, that would be enough. If he would have given us their wealth but not split the sea for us, we would have had to travel through the sea in a natural way. That would have sufficed to spend the night thanking him. If he would have split the sea but not let us through on dry land, just shown us that great miracle which made us recognize that God really runs the show and brought us to a state of higher emunah, that would be enough to spend the night here thanking him. If he would have let us through the sea
but not drowned our oppressors in the sea, that would have sufficed. If we would have drowned them, but not provided for our needs in the desert for 40 years, we would have had to live in some oases, we would have had to purchase food along the way, we would have had to travel through more habited territory, that would have sufficed. If he would have provided our needs for in the desert for 40 years, but not fed us the man, that would have sufficed. If he would have fed us the man, but not given us the great, great gift of Shabbos, that would have sufficed. Had he given us the gift of Shabbos, but not brought us before Sinai with the great revelations of the Ten Commandments, that would have sufficed. If he would have brought us to Sinai, but not given us the Torah, just the fact that we were united and God spoke to us at Sinai, that would have sufficed. Had God given us the Torah, but not brought us to the land of Israel, that would have sufficed to thank him. Had he brought us to the land of Israel and not built the temple for us, that would have sufficed. So it's so much more that we should be grateful tonight for all the things God did to us. He showered us with gifts. He took us out of Egypt. He did judgments against and destroyed their gods, destroyed their firstborn, gave us their wealth, split the sea, led us through the sea in dry land, drowned our oppressors in the sea, gave us everything we needed for 40 years in the desert, fed us the special food of man, gave us the amazing gift of Shabbos, brought us to that great revelation at Sinai, gave us the tremendous gift of the Torah, brought us to the beautiful land of Israel, and built us the temple to atone for our sins. For sure we have to thank him. And now we enter the center of the Haggadah. Rabbi Gamliel teaches us every person has to say three things at the night of Pesach, and without these he hasn't fulfilled even the minimum obligation. Pesach, Matzah, and Mara. And from this point, the women have to make sure they're saying every word. We now refill the wines. Remember, we took out a bunch of drops from our glasses, so we refill the cups. And now we are at the focus of the Haggadah. Pesach, the Paschal offering. And we don't have a Paschal offering, we have a commemoration, that roasted piece of meat. And the Pesach is what our forefathers used to eat at the time of the temple, that commemorates the fact that God was Pesach. Pesach means jump over. God passed over our homes in Egypt as he was killing the firstborns of the Egyptians. Matzah, this matzah that we're going to eat, we lift the matzah, we show kids. This matzah that we're going to eat is to commemorate that when we were rushed out of Egypt, we were in such a rush that the dough didn't have time to rise, and we had to bake it as crackers, and we had these matzahs. This is a commemoration of the fact that we left Egypt in such a rush. We were chased out of Egypt. Marar, why are we eating these bitter herbs? Marar, because the Egyptians made our forefathers' lives bitter in Egypt. And in every generation, a person has to visualize as though he himself left Egypt. When we say it over to our sons, the Torah says, tell your son, because of this God did to me. You tell them as though it happened to me. And that's why we had the whole class last week where I was acting it out, because we have to think of ways to make it interesting, to make the children understand this is real, this is what happened to us. Every father sits his child down and says, this is what my father told me, this is what I'm telling you, this is what happened. And God took us out of Egypt to bring us to this beautiful land of Israel. And therefore we have to praise him. And here we enter the section of Hallel, where we praise Hashem, thanking him for the great nisim that he did for us. Now the songs of Hallel we should really do. Those of you who will be around next week, Bezrat Hashem, we will do them. We end off, we cut the Hallel in half. Half the Hallel we say before the meal, and the other half we will say after the meal. So we end off the first portion of Hallel with this blessing. We lift the cup of wine, and now that we finished Magid, telling over the first part of telling over, the rest of the night after the Seder, we're going to tell as long as we have strength, we're going to spend the night telling the stories of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But now that we've finished this section, so we make the blessing. This is going to be our second cup of wine. The Ashkenazi custom is that we make a blessing on each of the four cups of wine at the night of the Seder. So tonight that we don't have this mitzvah, so I cannot make a second blessing of Bor Pragofen. I already made one. So I won't say God's name. At the night of the Seder, the Ashkenazim will say God's name. So we end up with this blessing. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher galanu, God redeemed us. Vegal et avoteinu mimitzrayim, God redeemed our forefathers from Egypt. Vigiyanu alayla zeh lechol bo matzah umaror, and God brought us to this night, to eat on this night, matzah and maror and bitter herbs. Kein Hashem Elokeinu velokei avoteinu, so to Hashem our God and the God of our forefathers. Yagienu lemoadim, v'liol galim acherim, habayim likateinu, leshalom. So to Hashem our God, the God of our forefathers, should bring us to other festivals that come towards us. God should bring us there with peace. שמחים בבניין נראיך וססים בעבודתך. We should be happy with the rebuilding of God's city, Jerusalem, and we should rejoice in His service. ונאכל שם מן הזבחים ומהפסחים אשר יגיע דמם על קיר מזבחך לרצון. And over there we will eat from the sacrifices and the paschal offering that their portion will be brought on the wall of the altar, and it will find favor in your eyes. ונודה לך שיר חדש על גאולתנו ועל תגדות נפשנו. And over there we will thank you, God, with a brand new song commemorating the new redemption we're looking forward to, and the fact that you redeemed Israel. Baruch atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has redeemed Israel. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Peri HaGafen. And we lean, as we drink our second cup of wine, we lean to the left side on a pillow. No one here brought pillows. And everyone should do like Daniel. Lean. Makes much more sense to turn your chair around and lean like this. Then it'll actually be convenient.
I'm so drunk.
Okay.
Do you have to drink with Gideachilafas?
Read the paper. I discussed that in the papers. No, the answer to that is more complicated than 1 second. So now we are going to wash our hands for eating the matzah. Now we're up to rochza, washing our hands. So everyone, let's go wash our hands, and we will eat the matzah. But first, before you wash your hands, let's read the pages that I gave out here, because no one gets this right. And we do it in the model Seder. And when guys come to the Seder at my house, I explain it again. And then we wash and everyone messes up. So we're going to try again. So guys, read it and understand it. And if you don't understand it, ask. Let's read through the pages. We are going to the page that says...
Rachza. Yes, I found it.
Rachza. We wash our hands for eating the bread, the matzah. And this time we make the blessing al netilat yadayim, right? The first time we washed it to say that we did not make a blessing, this time we will. Some have the custom that other people wash, each person washes for someone else. This is a sign of free men. Again, it is improper for a man to do this for a woman, or a woman to... We make the blessing of Vamotzi. Now, if you're a guest at someone's home, chances are you will not have your own Seder plate. So then the head of the house holds all three matzahs. At my house, it's a problem of space. I would give it to you just so you learn how to do it for your own homes. Depends on how many guys will show up. If we have enough space, then I'd like each person to have his own Seder plate, just so that you get the hang of it, so you'll be able to do it at your own homes. So we hold all three matzahs together. Now, what are we going to do here? Let's read matzah. We make the blessing, Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, on the three matzahs. Now, we are going to release the bottom matzah, and we are making the blessing al achilas matzah. And the idea is that the blessings we're making now, hamotzi is going to cover the meal, right? And whenever we make hamotzi at a Shabbos or holiday, we have to have lechem mishnah, two whole pieces of bread. So that's why we have these two whole pieces of bread. On the other hand, the Torah tells us that on this night, the night of Pesach, we're supposed to eat lechemoni, poor man's bread. That's the broken piece of bread. So, in order to fulfill both points, when we make the blessing of Hamotzi, so we hold both whole matzahs with the broken one in the middle. And then, once we finish that, we drop the whole matzah. Now I don't have two whole matzahs. I'm like a poor man. One of my matzahs is broken. And I'm going to make the blessing of Alachilas Matzah. I'm making the blessing that I'm now fulfilling the mitzvah of eating matzah. Now, when do I fulfill that mitzvah of eating matzah? One opinion says, right away when you begin eating the matzah. The other opinion says, you fulfill this mitzvah at the very end, when you eat the afikoman. And then there's a third opinion, which we commemorate. We don't really do we do it halachically, but it's more a commemoration. That is Hillel's opinion, that says that you have to eat it as a sandwich. We're going to make a sandwich of matzah and maror and haroses. Yes. So when we make the blessing that alachilas matzah, I'm making the blessing on the mitzvah of eating matzah, and all this is being done before I eat the matzah, so then I should have in mind either I will fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah right now when I eat matzah, or else I will fulfill it when I eat the sandwich in a minute, or else I will fulfill it at the end of the seder, at the end of the meal when I eat the afikoman. Now, being that this blessing might refer to the sandwich, we are not supposed to talk till we eat the sandwich. But being that basically, halachically, we go with the opinion that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah, you eat matzah plainly. And in order to fulfill the mitzvah of eating maror, you eat the maror with just dipping it into the charoses. We will first do that. We will make a blessing hamotzi, make the blessing alachilas matzah and eat a kezayis of matzah while leaning. Take the maror, dip it into the charoses, make the blessing alachilas maror and eat a kezayis of maror. And then, only then, do I want to fulfill commemorating that opinion of Korech that I have treated as a sandwich. Then I take a kezayis of matzah, a kezayis of maror, dip it into the charoses and make a sandwich out of it. And then I eat it, and I eat that sandwich. So really, I'm making a blessing now, alachilas matzah, and this blessing, I might not fulfill it until I eat that sandwich. So we're not supposed to talk between the blessing of Hamotzi until after the sandwich. The only things we are going to say is, Hamotzi lechem min haaretz, drop the bottom whole matzah. I remain with the whole matzah and a broken matzah. Now I can make the blessing al achilat matzah. And I make the blessing al achilat matzah and I'm silent. And I have in mind that that blessing will go on the matzah I'm eating now. And that blessing will also go on the sandwich. And that blessing will also go on the matzah I eat as afikoman. I eat my kezayis matzah. I'm not talking yet. I make a blessing al achilas maror because the primary opinion is that I fulfill my obligation of eating maror. The primary opinion holds that I already fulfilled my obligation of matzah. I am going to fulfill my obligation of maror when I dip it into the charoses. So I make the blessing al achilas maror, dip it into the charoses, eat my kezayis maror. And then I make the sandwich and eat the sandwich with the kezayis matzah maror. And only after the sandwich may I talk. And every year guys come to my house and they're talking away. And I say this before, I say this here, I say it there. And I hope this year guys get it. I wrote it, I explained it, read it in the sheets, so everyone understands. Okay. Did everyone understand? Oh, how much is a kezayis of lettuce? So read the sheets and evaluate. I explained in the sheets. You got to get the volume of an olive. Okay. So think about it. How much, when you crumple it up, the airspace doesn't count. So it's probably, this is about the volume of an olive, right? We saw that was opened up. But there's a more stringent opinion that says an olive became smaller. So if you want to fulfill that opinion, which you don't really have to, so then here we discuss when you do and when you do, depends which mitzvah. Look at the maror here. We rely on the opinion that the measurement of kezayis is 1.1 ounces. Okay, so let's see how much that is. 1.1 ounces.
I just had a discussion about how much matzah is kezayit matzah today.
Okay, guys, so that we did last year, this year we didn't have time. This is about 1.1 ounces. How much lettuce do we get into this?
But
this is more than 1.1.
This
is about 1.7.
Yes.
No. I'm saying, so it's probably a little bit more than this.
Yeah.
It's about more than one piece.
I think it was three leaves.
Three leaves, I don't think you need three leaves.
We must compress. We
how much do you compress? Compress. You don't have to go crazy.
Probably once you stuff some horseradish in there.
Well, so we don't need to stuff horseradish. Now, fine, but if you're a guest by someone at my house, eat as much as you want. But if you're by someone else, I'm not sure they'll be happy with you a lot.
But it is not so expensive.
What?
It is not so expensive.
When someone else is paying, it's very cheap. Okay, so now you have more details over here. Those who find it difficult health-wise to eat the horseradish, there's no reason not to eat the lettuce, as long as it's insect-free. Now we are going to do practice run for the Seder. So, being that it isn't the Seder, we have no mitzvah to eat matzah tonight, right? So we cannot make the blessing al-chilas matzah right after we make hamotzi. We have to eat the matzah. But
what we should do is evaluate how much is a kezayis of matzah. So we want, for the kezayis of matzah, the commandment eat matzah tonight is biblical. So we have to go with the more stringent measurement. So let's go back a page or two where we discussed that. Where is that? Okay, look at, on that page, on that same page, comment 22. The Talmud teaches. You guys see that? The volume of an egg is half the volume of an the volume of an olive is half the volume of an egg. An average egg is 3 ounces. Then a kezayis would be 1.5 ounces. One sheet of matzah, 7 by 6.25 inches, is approximately this amount. Some opinions say that a kezayis is 0.7 ounces. So when we eat the two kezayisim in the beginning of the motzi matzah, we fulfill both opinions. You have more details over here. You guys are welcome to read this. You're each getting your own copy, so then you read them. Okay. So let's see. We have one of two choices. We can eat the kezayis now, and that'll end, bring us to a close of our seder. Or we can move forward, and you guys will experience eating your own kezayis whenever you want. And we'll cover a little bit more of the agada, which is what I recommend you do.
Move
forward. Okay. So it is recommended. Two things are recommended here. For the meal, you should try to get to the meal early. People have a lot to say at the seder, and if you say everything you have to say by the time you get to the meal, it's close to midnight. At midnight, we try to finish the meal and the afikoman and the halal and the 4 cups of wine before chatzos. Ideally, that's what we should do. Now, in order to do that, you have to hit chatzos at the middle of the night, which is which is about, on today's clock, about 12:30 on the summer clock here in Jerusalem. 12:37. Okay, so you'll look at a calendar, you'll see the exact time. That means that you have to hit the meal no later than 11 o'clock if you're going to have any time to eat normally. You have to have time to eat all the kezayisim and have a normal Yom Tov meal and hopefully say a little bit of divrei and bench after having eaten the kezayis matzah, the kezayis maror, the maror sandwich, the meal, and then ending the meal with the kezayis afikoman, benching. After we take out the afikoman and bargain with the kids for 25 minutes, we bench. After benching, we drink our third cup, and then we finish halal, and at the conclusion of the halal, so we end off with nishmas and praise, and we end off with the last cup of wine. So you basically have to hit the songs, the very end of the Haggadah, by the middle of the night. In order to do that, you have to get to the meal early. Now, it's if a woman prepares food for the meal, and you show up to the meal, and it's 45 minutes to chatzos, and you're rushing, no, I gotta get this, I gotta get that, I gotta run, I gotta get to the bread oven, it's really not nice. She worked so hard cleaning the house. At the same time she was cleaning the house, she worked preparing all the kugels and all the food for the yomtiv. And now you don't have time to eat it. And you're rushing her and you're rushing yourself. And I don't have time for kugel. I got to make chatzos. So you should make chatzos, but you should also do the seder in a way that you get to the chatzos at a time that you can eat a normal meal. And that means leaving at least an hour and a half, preferably 2 hours for the meal. So even though we're going to talk a lot about the Haggadah, so a wise person thinks in advance and leaves over many of the Divrei Torah for after we finish our 4 cups of wine. We're supposed to spend much of the night talking, so why not say it later? There's no point in saying 1,000 Divrei Torah over the Haggadah. Once we get the idea, we got what we had to say, we said, so we have to do all the mitzvahs of the night on time, and on time means trying to get them in before chatzot. When we finish the fourth cup, we make an after blessing, which I will now make, and everyone can have in mind to be yotze, except for online. You're not yotze, those of you who listen online, but all those present in the room right now. So I'm making the after blessing. We all drank a lot of grape juice wine, so this after blessing is for whoever wants. It should be for them. Just say amen in the end if you can.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam al hagefen ve'al pri hagefen ve'al tenuvas hasadeh ve'al eretz chemtot baruch avos sh'hotzis minchal tolav oseinu lechol mipri yov lispar mituvarachim na'adonai Eloheinu al Yisrael nech v'Yerushalayim nech v'Atzion sh'am kodecha ועל מזבחך ועל איך לך ובני ירושלים מיר הקודש ממירב יומנו ועלינו לסוחה ושמחנו במניונו ונוכל מפיח ונספע מטובה ונברך לך עליה ביקדוש אופתורו כי אתה אדוני טוב ומטיב לכל ונותן לך על הארץ ועל פרי הגופן ברוך אתה אדוני על הארץ ועל פרי הגופן Okay, so we just ended the fourth cup of wine. Chasal Siddu Pesach Kehilchato. The Seder is now concluded in accordance with its laws. Kechol Mishpato Vechukato. With all its ordinances and its statutes. Asher Zachino Lesaderoto. Just as we were privileged to arrange it. Can Iskelasoto, so may we merit to perform it in the future. Zach Shochin Meona, O pure one who dwells up high above. Komim Kehaladat Mimana, raise up the congregation that numbers beyond what can be counted. Soon you should guide the offshoots of your plan. You should lead us redeemed to Zion with glad song. Let's start again. Chasal Siddu Pesach Kehilchato Kechol Mishpato Vechukato Asher Zachino Lesaderoto Asher Zachino Lesaderoto Kenitzke Lasoto Zach Shochin Meyona Komen Kehaladad Mimana Bekarov Nael Nitechana Bekarov Nael Nitechana Pedoyim Netzion Derina Neshana Haba Yerushalayim Neshana Haba Yerushalayim Neshana Haba Yerushalayim Yerushalayim Habenoya Shekach. Now, gentlemen, just 1 second. Every year at this point people get up and say, thank you, it was delicious, Kol Tov. Wrong. Stick around. You have to learn these songs. These songs are so beautiful, and most children, the memories that they have of Pesach are the memories of this end. They made it. They were up till 2 o'clock in the morning. And they sang these songs with their cousins and their parents and their grandparents. The Seder is supposed to be with cousins and parents and grandparents, and preferably the older generation is telling the younger generation what happened. So those of you who have an older generation, go there, and those of you who don't, find one. It's good to have adoptive parents and adoptive grandparents. I'm telling all the gerim here. I don't have a long white beard, so I'm not good, but I don't wear one at the Seder night either. But it's very important that you stick around, aside from the fact that this is a custom, these songs at the end of the Seder, and that they have all kinds of deep Kabbalistic meanings, but practically, you have to give this over to your children. This is one of the beautiful parts of the Seder that children remember. These are the memories they're going to take with them. So it's a mistake to leave. The right thing is stick around. If you don't know the songs, listen. By the end of the song, you'll know it. Bezrat Hashem, this year, I will still put up on the web, I hope within the next week, all the songs that I know of the Haggadah, so you could listen to them and learn them. And once you know one tune, it is much easier to catch on to new tunes of these songs.
So I'm telling you, please, for your sake and your children's sakes, learn these songs. Look on the web page. If you could learn them from me, good. Not learn them from someone else. I don't know if I'll get to it. Bezrat Hashem, it's on the agenda. And now, I wish everyone a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Should have a beautiful Pesach. Don't forget to call your parents to wish them a nice Pesach. Don't forget to prepare what you have to prepare. If you're eating by someone's house, then you should offer to bring your own matzah, your own wine. It's a tremendous expense purchasing the matzah and the wine. If you offer it a chicken, that usually doesn't work. It's nice if you offer, maybe they need help moving things for the Seder, maybe they need help preparing. Tell them you had a special class, you learned how to make charoset, you learned how to grind the maror. Do me a favor, if you're eating by someone's house, before you bring over any food, clear with them what hechsher it is and check it well. We had at the Seder a few years ago, a guy showed up with wine to the Seder. It didn't say kosher lePesach. We only noticed that everyone drank from it.
Was it at least kosher?
It was kosher lePesach. It was kosher lePesach, but he forgot to check. And one guy in the middle of the Seder suddenly says, hey, it's not kosher lePesach. So we have to stop the Seder and remove everything. Find out if you're bringing your host anything, what if Sheir and they eat.
No, I only
Make sure if you're eating lettuce that it is bug-free lettuce. Make sure if you're attending someone's Seder not to disrupt their ability to give over to their children. You have questions, ask a little bit, save some of it for a different night. You're at someone's house, they have to give the Seder to their own children as well. So try to, on the one hand, get from the Seder, and on the other hand, be a spectator a little bit also, because they're happy to have you, but they also have to give over to their own children. That's their responsibility in chinuch. So try to be a considerate guest on all fronts. At the end of the Seder, everyone is very tired after four cups of wine, and everyone wants to go to sleep. Be polite, stick around, and help clear the table. 1 second, why do two people have to clear off for 20 people? If everyone packs out, so then the people are making the Seder have to end up cleaning up for everyone else. So the right thing is that you should offer to stick around and help. That's the right thing. And as far as setting up in advance also, you don't want to come and be delayed. Most people come home from shul and end up delaying about an hour before they start the Seder. The first halacha in Leila Seder is, rush home, make kiddush, start quickly so the children shouldn't fall asleep. And right away when the Seder begins, everyone says, wait, I got to get this comfortable chair. I got to get my favorite agada. I got to get my pillow. I want to get this or that. No, prepare the time beforehand. Now, if your host isn't set up for that, so there's nothing you can do. Have patience. It's not your business to tell them what to do. But in your own homes, remember, do it the way we try to do it by us, what I learned from my Rebbeim, and that's what it says in Halacha. You set it up the afternoon beforehand. You don't wait till that night to set it up. Everyone in my house has their pillow ready. Their pillow, their cup of wine, everything's ready in the afternoon already. Get good naps. This year Pesach is the eve of the eve of Pesach is Shabbat. So sleep. You'll have more koach. You'll enjoy the Seder more. You'll be able to get more out of it. Pesach is a night when the heavens have opened up and Hashem says, you are my children, I will give you whether you deserve it or not. And that not only happened at the night of Pesach in Mitzrayim, that happens every year again. And so on the night of Pesach, take advantage. You can gain spiritual heights that all year are not open to you. The night of Pesach, Hashem is here to give us like a father wants to give his children. So a person can waste the night of Pesach and talk shtuyot at the Seder, or a person can gain from the night of Pesach and say, tonight I will jump forward, I will leap forward. Hashem redeemed the Jewish people, Hashem is going to help me out tonight also, I want to jump forward. And the night of Pesach is a very special night. The morning after, I recommend you guys get some sleep. On the one hand, you have to make it to Minyan. On the other hand, you got to catch up on sleep so you'll be sane. So find the balance. Don't miss the meals at your host's. We had people who did something that was very unfair to us. They showed up 3 hours late to the meal. So we're already ready to go to sleep. We had a Seder till 3 o'clock in the morning. We had guests the next day. And we're ready to go to sleep. And the guy shows up and says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. Well, I'm also sorry he's late. It's not a nice thing to do. And I also have to go to sleep. Your hosts, you have to be there on time. And if you can't do it, so don't go to sleep in bed. Put your head down on a stender. It's not nice to show up 2 hours late. Sometimes the host waits for you, and sometimes even if he's not waiting for you, it's not nice. So your responsibility is to do things responsibly. Be'ezrat Hashem, I wish those of you that are ready for it, that by next year you should all be married, and I'm already extending an invitation. I hope we should be home next year, Be'ezrat Hashem, and we'll be happy to have you with your wives. To our listeners on the web, if any of you are going to be in Israel, we are having a Seder one night, the first night,
those of you who can join us, we'll be happy to have you, but let us know, because we have to get arranged, have to arrange enough places. So those of you who are joining us that haven't signed up, please go sign up on the sheet. I'm taking it down in a few minutes.
Sign
you signed?
Right.
Good.